Hello, hello. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
Here we are to wrap up week 12. Patriots on a goddamn roll right now. Three consecutive Rolling. Games of just not even remotely
Utter
close.
Domination.
Yeah. Hasn't been close at all over the last few games. This game, just right from the very get-go, it was just march down the field, touchdown. March down the field, touchdown. They didn't have to punt until the second half. They put up 28 points before their first punt.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'd say so. We were worried in this game, not about that many things, but
no.
I suppose Cameron Wake was the big concern. And if you want to jump right into a weakness in this game, pass protection was really the only one.
They were getting after us. And part of it was Ted Karras, or however you say his name.
Karras.
Yeah. He had a few mistakes, but I mean, and you can assume because of the mistakes he made that probably some of those breakdowns in pass protection were communication based. And I mean, he's a backup center. What do you want from the fucking guy? You know, like one of them, he just got mauled by Ndamukong Suh. It's like,
yeah,
those things are going to happen. You have to expect shit like that to happen.
Yeah, you can't ask him to block Suh one on one, really.
And just it was things along those lines. Waddle did get hurt, which is not a good sign going forward. And after that, you know, what's his name came in?
Fleming. Yeah, they think Waddle's just a light sprain of his ankle.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, when Fleming came in, I mean, Cameron Wake just crushes him and then crushes Brady. It's
first
like,
play.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we know. We get it.
Yeah. You got to check him on that play.
They'll fix it. But outside of that, I mean, everything was just phenomenal offensively. Like you said, I mean, they just came out of the gate. They went 5 for 5 in touchdowns. It's the best red zone conversion rate we've had all season by far.
Well, you can't get better than 100.
You can't get better than that, but we haven't even come close to it up to this point.
Five trips, too.
Five trips. It's not one five of those touchdowns. Brady went 18 for 28, 227 yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. You know, pretty efficient there. Deion Lewis, his first 100-yard game, he was incredible.
He was insane. If they gave him the ball 30 times, he could have gone for 300 yards.
Easily.
He was unstoppable.
I mean, he was average. I mean, he had 15 carries.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
The whole thing looked easy from the get-go for him. We're just running all these trap blocks up the middle of the field, all these crossing blocks, and just getting their whole defense out of position and just creating this highway up the A-gaps. And Deion Lewis is making people miss at the second and third level. It just looked easy throughout.
He was owning it. Definitely his best running game. Probably our best running game as a team all season.
Guaranteed.
Burkhead had 13 for 50 yards. Definitely an improvement from last week. Not as good as 2 weeks ago, but still pretty good. James White had 3 for 13. You had Ebner had a fake punt right out of the get-go. We stall, don't go anywhere. Fake the punt. Goes for 14 yards, gets the first down, go down, score a touchdown.
That's really the underrated portion of this game is that they started out and they had a 3-and-out right away. And then Belichick saw something on film. He wanted to get the ball in the Olympians' hands. I don't know what it was, but he saw that they could pull off a fake punt, and they did it. Fake punt off on their like own 35-yard line.
Yeah, it's like they knew it was happening.
In the first quarter.
And it was it wasn't like it was close or, you know, it was a great play. There a lot of moves had to be made. No, he got the 14. It was easy. The only thing was Nate Ebner screwed himself on, got hurt on that play, unfortunately, and is now
out for the year.
Out for the season.
They already put him on IR.
So yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, but what I was getting at is that we started off rocky.
Right.
And then they make this trick play call on 4th and 8 from your own side of the field in the first quarter. That's a risk that most coaches wouldn't take, and it works out great. And then as soon as that works out, it's like everything else opened up.
Off to the races.
Yeah, it's almost like you were saying during the game, like if you were on the Dolphins and you could press a button and stop the game and just go home, they would have pressed it
in the third quarter.
Yeah, you were saying that in the third quarter, but it's almost like they also pressed. Yeah, and they kind of like. Just it's not that they totally gave up, but they didn't play competitively from then on.
No, they wanted out. You look over on that sideline, it was just like, yep, they're done. they're gone. And that's how I came up with it. Adam Gase was just, his face was just like, Jesus Christ, again? And all the players, I mean, everybody I'd say outside of that defensive line gave up. We'll get to more of that in a little bit as to who gave up specifically, but everyone pretty much outside the defensive line. You look at the receiving end, Brandon Cooks continues to play great.
Brandon Cooks had a really, really good game.
6 receptions for 83 yards, a touchdown. Gronk had one of his more effective games, I'd say, just in terms of just being all over the place. 5 receptions, 82 yards, 2 TDs. Breaks the record for most multiple touchdown games as a Patriot, who Randy Moss, he was tied with. Now he owns that. You didn't need to rely on Amendola, which was nice. Dorsett only had, he had 1 for 39, which was big, and then a couple other little rinky-dink ones for the running backs. But great stuff all around. I mean, outside the offensive line, but we know that. They usually get to us. So, and then you go defensively. Brady threw the pick. Well, did we have... So we had a bad snap.
Yeah.
Where Brady was looking to the right. Ted snaps it, and it goes right behind him. They pick it up. They score a touchdown. So our defense, and they scored 17. So our defense only let up.
How scared were you that Brady was going to get tangled up with somebody?
I know. I always get worried about that shit. It sucks.
And then they scoop it up and take it to the end zone. And I did not react one bit to that. I was just going, put the camera back on Brady. Just show me that Brady's
literally.
Okay. Yeah, I don't give a living.
Brady went down.
I didn't give a flying fuck about the scoop and score. Didn't care.
Exactly. I know it is frightening, but yeah. So they defense only allowed 10 points. They continue to play in great defense back there. Gilmore had what should have been two interceptions. I think they gave one to Harmon, but Harmon really stole that right out of Gilmore's hands.
Right out of his hands. Yeah.
But you had Malcolm Butler, he forced a fumble. Trey Flowers forced a fumble. We had 7 sacks as a team. So when I said most of the team gave up, the offensive line, this was all in the second half, just gave up. They're like, fuck this. We're not blocking nobody. 7 sacks. We haven't had 7 sacks all season, probably. We have 7 in one game.
Yeah.
That's 2 for Trey Flowers, 2 for Landon Roberts. Roberts had by far his best game on defense.
Yeah, Roberts was everywhere. He was in the backfield. He was rushing the passer. He was playing in coverage.
He's doing great in coverage.
He's awesome. Terrific. Yeah, they're really liking that Atlanta Roberts next to David Harris on the inside. And then they've moved Van Noy to an edge position.
Which I like.
And it might change. Well, yeah, Van Noy is now a little bit banged up. I think it was a knee. I'm not sure. They haven't really given any details yet. But I would expect some of those things to change if they play a team that is more focused on running the ball.
Yeah.
It might change a little bit. You might come in with more fatties up front, and that might move Van Noy to a different position. But Roberts in the middle, he played almost every snap, I think. He
played good, man. He was a clear 3-down
linebacker now.
Yeah. I mean, he brought the delayed blitzes are back. He pulled those off very well.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, Jonathan. I mean, it's not Jonathan Jones had one of his best games by far.
He continues to impress.
Yeah, he's playing great. I mean, Malcolm Butler, he had the forced fumble. Probably not one of his better games. He did make up for it a little bit with the forced fumble, but he was getting beat a little bit there and making a couple mistakes.
He had that big pass interference penalty that put them inside the 10-yard line, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets turned around on those plays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you wonder when you look at him next to Jonathan Jones and you're like, wait, you got Jonathan Jones for 2 more years for peanuts, and next year Malcolm Butler's going to be a free agent, and he's going to want $14 million a year. You're like, I don't know how differently they're playing right now.
Well, also, Malcolm's been going up a lot better talent.
Usually, but not so, always. In this game, they were switching off between Jarvis Landry between the two of them.
Right. But, so we'll see how that one unfolds. But that new guy, Eric Lee, 4 tackles and a sack. All right.
In garbage time. It was straight garbage time.
Still.
I know. It's great. Yeah. Looking at him on the field, he looks like he belongs.
Yeah. I mean, he was a practice
squad
player.
He's a big old boy.
So, I mean, nothing really but good things. I mean, yeah, the offensive line needs to be a little more.
Barely.
Be a little better. But, I mean, they've faced better defensive lines and done better. So.
This defensive line always gives them an issue.
They always do.
When you got a double team caliber defensive line in Dominguez Sue, and then Cameron Wake has been a Patriot killer in the same mold as like a Jason Taylor. For some reason, they seem to collect those players down there.
Yeah, even if they didn't have a bad season, they still do good against us.
Yeah, and we had two backup offensive linemen in there, including the guy who's calling all the protections that's mm-hmm. not being called by Brady. I'm sure Brady calls most of them anyway.
Yeah, but still, that's going to get better. That's what we're saying. But, I mean, there's really not much else to say. I mean, we expected them to dominate, and they kind of did. The only thing I will say, I guess, is something about the fourth quarter at home. You know, we did close it out, but there was a chance where it looked like a blowout, and it got a little close again. And then we scored another touchdown and kind of ended that.
Oh, but I didn't even think the second quarter, right before halftime, we were up 21-10, and they were driving. They were all the way into our territory. I think they might have even been in field goal range.
Yeah, and then we picked it.
Yeah, Matt Moore throws a terrible interception. Knew they were going to pick the end zone. I think, yeah, they might have even been like at the 25-yard line.
They were close. I knew they were going to pick it, though. I was like, everything's going too good for them. They're going
to
pick it.
That was a really weird play. I remember thinking at the time and saying it to you that Devontae Parker was in the slot to the left, and he ran a corner route. But he opened inside. You know, a corner route you would typically open towards the sideline.
Right.
Whereas he opened and looked back towards the goalpost.
So we had no chance of making a play on the ball.
So he was all kinds of off balance. He had no way to stop his momentum and come back and play the ball. And so Gilmore just got the easiest pick of his life, probably. Not of his life, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really strange route. And that was a big time fuck up. But if they connect on that ball, if he opens to the sideline, maybe he comes back and makes that play. You're looking at 21-7 going into halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Very different game, and they received on this to start the second half. So that was a absolutely massive play.
Yeah, huge.
That kind of gets glossed over in a blowout, because you don't really, when you see a blowout like this, and the feeling of the game was it was never really that close. But that was really the moment that I thought things opened up for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then the fourth quarter, they were just kind of pushing it. You know, they had a turnover on downs for no reason why they're going for it.
Well, right at the beginning, it looked a little out of hand, and that they might come back, and then all of a sudden we just started sacking him on every fucking play, and we sacked him out of field goal range, and it just kept going and going. We're like, all right, I guess we don't have to really worry about anything here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was totally fine. I think the Brady interception, he threw a couple passes where he was off balance,
mm-hmm.
and he just kind of like let it fly in the middle of the field. I think he connected with somebody on a completion, throwing it like that, where he was kind of fading away. He completed
a hell of a throw.
He completed one on a screen pass, and he completed one in the middle of the field. And then he tried to do it a third time, and it was just the wrong moment to do it, and the guy intercepted it.
Yeah.
And that's how even when they're not racking up sack numbers, but when they're putting pressure on the quarterback, kind of gets a little jittery back there, and you can get bad plays like that.
Absolutely. And that's what happened.
Is that his second interception of the year? Is that it?
Third.
Okay.
Still.
pretty badass.
Pretty damn good.
But what I wanted to say is the running game in this game. That's my story.
Yeah.
Is we were running the ball at will. And I know Burkhead didn't have nearly the numbers Deion Lewis did, but that's the difference. That's why he's our number one back.
Right. And I mean, look at Gillislee. He's not even on the field anymore.
And I don't see that changing unless there's an injury.
Yeah. Lewis is just playing too fucking good.
Too goddamn good.
I mean, he could break it on any moment. That's how good he's playing right now.
Yeah. And Burkhead is a serviceable backup for him on early downs. And that's just preserving James White.
Exactly.
Preserving him for big time third downs. There was one play in this game where we went out five wide. We got James White to the left of left of the quarterback, all the way out wide. He's basically standing on the sideline. And I'm like, everyone knows that James White's running a slant here, right? Everyone knows that. And they still ran it on third and four, connected, and I think he got held or interfered with on that play. But he's standing on the sideline. He can't run an out route. He's obviously running a slant or an in, and he still gets beat on it. It was just, haven't you seen any tape on this guy in the last 2 years? That's what he does.
Exactly. And it's just great, too, because, you think about it. Well, his numbers, his production has gone down, whatever, and it's like almost like they're trying to make sure everything else works because they know that works.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
his snaps are so far down.
Right.
It's completely reasonable for his stats to be that down, because he's playing like at the very most 20% of the snaps at the most
at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good problem to have.
Oh, fuck yeah. So there's really not too much to say about this game. It's just another win, 9-2. They're completely dominating people at this stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just read the last couple scores to you. 35-17, 33-8, and 41-16.
Pretty good.
Yeah. What is that? 18-25 and 25 in terms of margin of victory. They're crushing mm-hmm. people. Not necessarily the best teams, but they're some of the best teams we're going to play in the rest of the season.
Yeah. Literally.
I'm almost a little worried that we're peaking in November and we don't have really the only tune-up game from now until the playoffs is that Steelers game.
2 weeks. Well, the Bills. We have to play the Bills twice.
Yeah, good point.
The Bills are 6-5. I mean, there's really not much else in the AFC right now.
Yeah, that's the Bills
are technically in the playoffs.
That's the thing. And you could say the exact same thing about the Steelers because unless you're playing the Steelers or Patriots in the AFC, there's not really that many challenges.
There's nothing really going on. No. And that brings us to the Buffalo game. So we're playing Buffalo. Or do you want to run through the games from last week?
Yeah, we can just take a peek. I mean, everybody's probably been talking about the Turkey Day games. Just Dallas getting smacked.
Dallas got nothing no more.
They're just completely falling apart without Zeke. And that's not going to change until he comes back in week 16. And by mm-hmm. then, it's going to be way far gone. Chargers continue to look good. Continue to be a dark horse in the AFC.
Absolutely.
When you've got veteran quarterback play, you got some playmakers on offense, and then you have the ultimate, basically the ultimate tool that can help you win playoff games, which is a dominant pass rush.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they're a scary team. Minnesota.
Beat the Lions in a close one.
It was like they were two steps ahead of the Lions the whole time. The Lions would get within a step, and then the Vikings would take one more step, and it was just exactly. They could never catch up.
The good old Skins finally got a win.
That was a disgusting game.
Terrible.
It was just gross to watch.
Ugly. Then the Bills. Talking about the Bills, that'll lead us in. They beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs continue their slide.
Five out of six.
They've lost 5 out of 6. Pretty bad.
You're the one that kept bringing up power rankings in October.
I always say that the Chiefs blow it. The Chiefs are not a clutch team. It's funny. Someone should do a parallel to see teams that are bad at clock management and fall apart in the end of the year. Like teams that don't have good clock management somehow seem to be very bad at being clutch.
Yeah, I think you'd have to find a way to measure who's good at clock management. I mean, off the top of your head, you could just go, oh, Andy Reid. You could probably say Jay Gruden makes mistakes.
The Falcons.
You think the Falcons do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, did they in the Super Bowl, now that you bring it up.
Yeah. So then the Titans beat the Colts. Titans actually got a good record right now. They're looking like they might be the third best team in the league somehow. AFC, I mean.
The thing is, it's between them and Jacksonville. They both have 7 wins.
Which is insane. Bengals beat the crap out of Browns. No one cares. Falcons beat up on the Bucks. Julio Jones had a game for the record books. If nobody saw that, watch the highlights.
Did they say that's his third career 250-yard game?
Yeah, only person ever.
What the fuck?
I know, right? Two touchdowns and like 200 something. Over 250 yards. Crazy. The Eagles beat the hell out of the Bears. No surprise there.
Yeah.
The Panthers kind of eked it out against the Jets. I don't know if that was garbage time or what, but they only won by a touchdown.
They played them way too close. Robbie Anderson is really coming on as a playmaker for the Jets.
Yeah.
Good to see they have at least one bright spot on that team.
Yeah, I couldn't give a shit. They can rot. All I care. The Seahawks beat the Niners.
Hey, Jimmy G got
there
on the field.
Then you got for a play, threw a touchdown.
Hey, good for him. That's a magical start to a career.
Absolutely. Rams beat up on the Saints. That was a big one. 26-20. Saints almost pulled it off, but didn't. They came back and then went for the onside kick and shit like that. Didn't get it.
It's good to see the Rams bounce back from a tough loss in Minnesota last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think you got a coach who's, I think they said he's the youngest head coach in the modern era.
He was
since the Super Bowl.
They were saying that he was in, like, high school when Drew Brees was a starting NFL quarterback or something.
Oh, he was an underclassman in high school. When Drew Brees got drafted, he was an underclassman in high school. Yeah, he was young. He was in middle school.
That's crazy.
When Drew Brees had already been like a 3-year starter in college.
It's insane.
Yeah, but just like that being such a young leadership position from the head coach, second year quarterback, a team that's overachieving by everyone's estimate,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at possibly the hottest team in the NFC, not named the Eagles, the Saints coming in to face them, and they beat them up. They beat them up. It was a 12 or 13 point game in the second in the fourth quarter, and Gurley and Alvin Kamara were very impressive in that game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kamara had an incredible run. The huge stunner that the Cardinals with nobody beat the Jaguars.
Hey, that's don't say nobody. Replacing. All right, Blaine Gabbert's on that team, and he is playing his ass off.
Yeah, we'll move on after that one. The Raiders beat the Broncos in a game to maybe save the Raiders' season. And then last night, huge game was the Packers and Steelers. Everyone thought this should have been the game of the year, as we said last week. Steelers barely won. They kicked a field goal as time ran out to win this game against a team with no offense.
A deep field goal. Was that a 51-yarder?
53. Tied the record at Heinz Field.
Yeah, they needed every little inch to win that game. It actually turned out to be one heck of a game.
I know. I don't know how. I mean, Hundley played well.
They figured out a way to keep Brett Hundley from making bad decisions. He was throwing it was a lot of first reads where he was just being able to throw slant passes. And they were getting yards after the catch,
and
which was
look
massive
how well it worked. You know why? Guess why, Sean?
Because he sucks?
No. Why? Because Pittsburgh's defense sucks.
Yeah, and particularly their back end.
Their secondary. I've been saying for years, they have nobody on the secondary. And, I mean, I don't know if anybody reads the writing on the wall, but 28 points to a Packers team that just gotten blown out in every other game they've had without Rodgers might prove my point.
Yeah, and the Steelers were playing at home, too.
At home. It's crazy. They scored 31, which is great, but, you know, 28 to the Packers?
That's whatever. They scored
28 to the Packers.
Yeah, the Packers got shut out by the Ravens last week.
Shut out.
Zero. Goose egg.
Shut out. And then they let up 28. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I know. You're onto something on that Steelers defense.
I've been telling everybody all year, the Steelers defense. Yeah, they play awful teams with no offenses.
Shazier got banged up, too. That would be a massive loss if he had to miss time.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. We play them in 2 weeks. Right now, you've got a close game in Baltimore. Baltimore's up over Houston 17-13. So
I'm not sure that this game could matter less.
Matters for Baltimore.
Do you think they're going to be able to make the playoffs?
They're one game out.
Wow, that's crazy.
They're five and five. The Bills are six and five. I know, right? That's how bad they are. That's unbelievable.
We are facing the Bills, who is one of the two teams with a winning record left on our schedule for this season.
Yeah.
6-5. They are really confused at quarterback right now.
On offense in general.
I mean, think Sean McDermott said that he's making quarterback decisions week by week.
Which is bad. I mean,
Tyrod Taylor brought him out to, what did they start the season, like 4-2, 5-2, something like that.
They were good, and now they've dropped a few. And then they benched Tyrod Taylor last week.
And saw how bad it gets.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they quickly put him back in, and for some reason are not ready to say it's his job.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't have options. Their option is a guy who can't play. So you go with the guy who can.
Exactly. You look at their offensive statistics here. Nothing to write home about. You got 20.4 yards points per game. That's 22nd in the league. 299 totals, 26th in the league. That's awful. I mean, that's terrible. 30th in the league in passing with 182 yards. That's probably why they're worried about their quarterback, and they're not doing bad rushing the ball. 116.5 yards per game. That's 11th. But overall, just
yeah. Yeah, they're
really not much better defensively.
No, they're definitely better defensively than they are offensively.
Not much.
That's a low bar.
That's right, exactly. I mean, you go defensively real quick. Their statistics: 23.6 points per game. That's 17th overall. 354 yards they're letting up. That's 25th. We can't really say much because the Patriots, I think, are still the worst, even though that number's coming down. 240 passing, letting up 114 rushing. So just bottom half of the league in everything.
Yeah, it's really bottom surprising. Bottom
quarter of the league in most.
With stats like that, it's surprising they have a winning record.
It's unbelievable. I'm looking at this going, how did they win anything?
They won close games.
It just comes down to the talent, and the AFC is just not there. They haven't had the playoffs yet twice. So, I mean, you look at everything here. Their third down conversion is bad. Their third down, they let up third downs pretty badly.
I get it. They suck, all right,
they man? Give up. They gave up seven. They had 17 sacks. They gave up 31.
Yeah.
I mean, their star running back is barely averaging 3.9 yards a carry. It's garbage.
That's really all they have.
That's all they got.
Is they run their offense completely around Shady McCoy, and they should. He's their best player.
Oh, absolutely. But then outside of that, it's like they don't have a receiver over. Their highest receiver is their tight end, Charles Clay. 358 yards, 29 receptions.
Yeah, they've had some injuries. Two touchdowns. And they traded for Kelvin Benjamin midseason. I think he's a little banged up.
He got hurt. He's got an ankle. I think he's done.
Oh, he's got a knee. Torn meniscus. Oh, whoops.
Done.
Maybe. Yeah. You can play with those things.
Yeah.
but Shady's the centerpiece. And when he can't get things going, basically nothing happens. So like last week, for an example, he had 22 carries for less than 50 yards. And the team just sputtered around that. Because everything runs off the play action and even catching the ball out of the backfield for LeSean.
He has the most receptions on the team by far.
Yeah, exactly. So that is clearly the focus for the Patriots defense.
Beat Kansas City?
Because Kansas City's offense is equally bad.
You know, they went back to being Alex Smith
Yeah, and they're kind of dependent on Tyreek Hill to make big plays now.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt, 11 carries, 17 yards in that game.
Garbage.
Kareem Hunt, rookie wall, perhaps. We got to stop LeSean McCoy, and one of the problems is that we can't always do that. And you don't have to look any further than last year when the Bills came to town, and I know Brady didn't play in the game and whatever you want to say at the end of September, but we couldn't tackle anybody. That was the difference in that game. I know we put up a goose egg on offense, and they only put up 16 points, but it's because we couldn't tackle for shit. Yes, I'm
really gonna. You're really gonna bring the Jacoby Brissett game up, Sean?
I'm gonna bring it up because Shady's hard to tackle, and sometimes we don't do a very good job of it.
That's okay. Okay, that's fair. But even if he has a great game,
there's no way they beat us.
They can't. I don't know how they can beat us. I mean,
turnovers. I believe 8 weeks ago, they're number one in the NFL in turnovers.
No, they have a +6 turnover ratio. That's number one.
Maybe they have the fewest. No, I think the Patriots have the fewest turnovers.
Maybe the most forced turnovers or something. Where are you getting these stats from, ladies and gentlemen? The man with no sources.
Pro Football Reference. That's where. Okay. Great website. You should all check it out. It's got everything going back years.
I mean, you can just load the box, put a safety on them.
I guarantee they will. Yeah, it's going to be a guy spying Tyrod Taylor as well.
And I mean,
they're going to have eight in the box.
You'd say, okay, well, we can't do that because maybe Tyrod Taylor can gash us up. Well, the way their offensive looks and these statistics are bad. And the Patriots defense, honestly, has been playing very good football.
Yeah, especially against offenses that are probably a little bit better than this.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, look at Oakland.
Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind.
Better offense. Even Miami. I'd say Matt Moore led Miami Dolphins is easily as good as this.
It's got to be, yeah.
Just based on talent. So, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think their offense really scares us that much. Just real quick for those of you listening, their offensive line is okay. At wide receiver, they got Jordan Matthews, who's a first-year player with this team, coming over from the Eagles. Kelvin Benjamin, as I mentioned, a little banged up. Zay Jones, who I believe was a second-round pick that they just got from East Carolina. Kid was incredibly productive in school. I really liked him. Mentioned LeSean McCoy. They also have Mike Tolbert, that big old fatty with the pot roast belly. I fucking love that guy. I've always loved him. Going back when he was on the Chargers.
Yeah,
I don't care. I just love when he scores and pats the belly. Charles Clay, we mentioned. Nick O'Leary. Look, offensive line-wise, they're okay. Richie Incognito's there. Eric Wood at center. Cordy Glenn at left tackle. It's okay. Cordy Glenn's overrated at left tackle. Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be an offensive line that will not dominate us, and perhaps it's built for run blocking, really.
Yeah.
But so there might be some opportunities there in pass rush. Now, the Bills' defense, we mentioned it was slightly better than the offense, but still not that great. They, for so many years, we looked at this defense and we were terrified of that defensive line.
Yeah, it's no longer there.
It's Mario Williams got old. He left. Marcel Darius got essentially traded for a bag of sticks to Jacksonville. They got nothing in return. They just voided that contract, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But they still got Jerry Hughes. He was never, in my opinion, that good. But they also have second-year player Shaq Lawson, who is a heck of a rusher from Clemson. Adolphus Washington is a talented player as well. And they also still have Lorenzo Alexander.
And Kyle Williams.
Oh, shit. Kyle Williams. Good call.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget him. He's like the best player on the day.
Yeah, he's a little long in the tooth, but he's one of those guys that just got a knack, and he's going to keep being able to be productive.
An athlete at D-tackle.
I know. Chubby white guy, no chin, athlete.
He is.
I know. I know. I believe you. I'm just saying it. It's funny. It's funny to think that.
It's an odd thing. Well, I think he put on tons of weight just so he could play D-tackle. He could be a linebacker if he just wanted to be.
And then in the secondary, they got Tre'Davious White, who I think they took in the first round. He's a cornerback at LSU, one of my favorite guys. I think I have a lot in common with this Bills general manager. We got the same taste in players. And then they got E.J. Gaines, who came over from the Rams for that Sammy Watkins trade.
Yep.
And the big thing, they signed Micah Hyde, who's a guy I really liked in free agency last year. He's kind of a jack of all trades. He just finds the ball. I don't even know if he's a strong safety or he's like...
Is he from San Fran?
No, he was at Green Bay for a while.
Oh, okay.
Well, his whole career. He returned a bunch of punts for Green Bay, and he's just kind of plays in the slot and plays in the backfield and kind of Landon Collins type of playing style, but not nearly as talented or big.
Yeah.
But they got some decent players back there.
They're all right.
They're okay. Sean McDermott is a defensive-minded coach. He was in Carolina operating their defense, that Luke Kuechly style defense, but the Bills run more of a 3-4 look.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Patriots offense is playing right now, it almost doesn't matter who you play. Yeah. As long as you don't have dominant pass rushers that are going to drastically change what we want to do offensively, we can just kind of line up and do whatever we want.
Pretty much.
That's the thing. Obviously, we're going to have to take some things and leave some things depending on what looks you're giving us. But with the personnel that we can put out there, with the type of chemistry that they have currently, there's no reason you can't put Deion Lewis in the backfield, Brandon Cooks, Philip Dorsett, Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, and be like, look, we're going to run the ball, or we're going to throw it short, or we're going to throw it deep, inside or outside, and it's completely up to you. And depending on what look you give us, we're just going to gash you.
Pretty much.
And that's how it's looking. I would love to see the running game continue, but I also don't want Deion Lewis to take too many hits.
Right.
So it's kind of gas pedal, brake pedal in terms of what I want to see out of the running game. I suppose you could put Burkhead in there and split carries.
Yeah.
It's almost like you still want these things to be tune-up games. Like, I still want Dwayne Allen to catch some balls and get more and more comfortable.
Yeah.
After he was starting to build a little bit of momentum, and now we're really going to need him now that Martellus Bennett is on goddamn IR.
What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Oh, shit. I'm breaking Marty Bennett news to you again.
No way.
Yeah. So I guess the hamstring and the rotator cuff injury, they, for whatever reason, they decided it was too much.
Damn.
Yeah. So IR for Marty, IR for Nate Ebner.
We got to fill some spots.
Yeah, two open roster spots. We'll see who they decide to bring in.
God damn it.
Wouldn't hold your breath that it's going to be anybody to their caliber.
I can't believe Marty's on IR.
I know. It's a bummer. We wanted to see that two tight end offense. That's why Dwayne Allen now becomes important again after I was so happy that he was no longer needed.
Well, he's finally at least making some kind of strides.
I guess. He caught one for -2 yards in this game, I think.
Was that it?
I think so. It was a screen pass. Let me see.
I thought he had more than that.
Oh, it was for 2 yards. It was for +2 yards. Way to fall forward, big guy.
Yep, see that?
But, yeah, I don't really know what they should do. I suppose you got a rookie cornerback. You could try to double move him.
I don't think it really matters.
You could try to run the ball.
Like you said, we can kind of be... I mean, I know people are looking for, oh, what do you guys think? Well, we can kind of do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
I don't see this defense slowing us down in the least.
Yeah, I can't. I really can't make a case for the Bills' defense in this game. I just can't do it.
I can't do it.
So
Brandon Tate's still on the team. That's good to see. He's still in the league.
Nice. I love when those guys are still around.
Yeah. What else? Well, what do you say? I say we go over the games. I mean, I got nothing to say. Predictions?
We actually had pretty good predictions last week.
I know.
I think I said 36-16. 35-17. Pretty fucking good, huh?
Yeah. Mine was pretty close, though.
I think I should try to ride that momentum, and I'm going to go with 27-13. Patriots.
Only 27 points, huh?
Only 27, yeah. You never know. In Buffalo, it's probably going to be really windy, and Brady always says that the cold doesn't bother him as much as the wind does.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 34-13.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice. So, Tyrod Taylor, the scrambling worries me a little bit, and sometimes he really connects on deep balls. I think there's a lot of things that have to go right. Yeah, a lot of things would have to go right for the Bills to win this game. Number one, they would have to win the turnover battle. Number two, Tyrod would have to connect on at least one very deep ball, and I'm talking 50-plus yarder. And number three, I don't know, maybe Gostkowski would have to blow a gasket and lose the good play that he's been exhibiting the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, outside of any catastrophic injuries, I think we're fine.
Yeah, let's hope. I don't know how many more injuries we can really
sustain.
Yeah, it's just taking a toll, and it's doing it for everybody, too.
I know, it's not just us, it's everyone.
Two offensive linemen, a tight end. We're already down our top two wide receivers, depending on where you put Brandon Cooks in that hierarchy.
Well, Hogan's coming back.
He's coming back, yeah, but he's been out for a month.
Yeah.
We don't realize it, but he missed all of November.
And I know, the offense
seemed like it only got better after he was maybe our most important receiver going into it. Certainly had the most touchdowns of any of our receivers going into November.
Tom Brady works in mysterious ways.
And so does Bill Belichick. As soon as the weather gets cold,
mm-hmm.
they start to heat up. Oh my God, we're so cliched.
So, this week, we got some games. First one, Thursday night, Washington Redskins at Dallas.
Let's go Washington. I think they're going to dominate them again.
I think so, too. And this is basically the nail in the coffin for whoever loses. Just no chance of playoffs. That's it.
How does Jason Garrett is the second longest tenured coach in Cowboys history.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that.
Maybe. To only Tom Landry. More. He's been there longer than Jimmy Johnson was there.
Jimmy Johnson there wasn't long at all.
He was there for like 6 years.
Was he?
Yeah. He took over in 89. Jason Garrett's been there longer than Jimmy Johnson, longer than Bill Parcells, longer than Barry Switzer.
I don't know.
And he's just hanging on. He doesn't call the plays. There's an offensive coordinator that calls the plays. Defense coordinator calls their plays. Nobody gives him any X's and O's credit.
And they always suck.
They were sporadically good last year. But the talent that is on that team, that you lose a running back and now it all falls apart.
You know, right?
A running back, the most devalued position in the modern game.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Well, let's continue onward. Minnesota going to Atlanta.
That's a
real big one. Atlanta's got to show up.
Yeah,
we know Minnesota's going to, but Atlanta sometimes they don't have it.
Yeah, they turn it on.
Games this year at home in particular, they haven't had it.
Yeah,
and they're really fighting for their lives. They're behind the Panthers right now. I think they're behind somebody else in the wild card rush and the wild card hunt. Maybe it might be I was thinking the Seahawks, but it's not.
No.
They might be tied for it.
I think they got it right now.
Yeah, that's a huge game for Atlanta. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, and you got the Titans and Texans. That one's kind of a joke. No one really cares. Titans will probably beat up on them.
They probably won't. It'll be one of those another inexplicable AFC South losses like the Jaguars losing in Arizona.
I know, right? I can see a lot of upsets this week. Chiefs at Jets. I can almost see the Jets beating them.
No.
I can. I don't know what it is. They're falling apart, and I think it's going to continue. I hope it doesn't happen.
Wow. That'd be real far.
And then you got to battle of the teams and no quarterbacks. Broncos at Dolphins. That's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Colts at Jaguars. Hopefully the Jaguars should get right themselves on that track. Buccaneers at Packers. Just terrible stuff. This is just garbage.
The Packers still have a chance to make the playoffs if Aaron Rodgers comes back.
Somehow.
Yeah.
That'd be bullshit. He comes back, wins the Super Bowl, didn't even play. Like, barely should have been there. suck. Lions at Ravens. Lions should take that. Actually, it might be the Lions in the other wild card.
Yeah, but the Lions just lost to the Vikings.
Right.
So they might be sitting at 6-5.
Yeah. So Niners at Bears, god awful. Browns at Chargers, yeesh. Giants at Raiders, I mean, come on. Terrible, terrible. Don't watch football this week, guys. It sucks. No, I'm kidding. Giants at Raiders, that's garbage. Panthers at Saints, finally. Here we go.
There you go.
Divisional.
Panthers at Saints, good one.
That's probably going to relay on who takes that division.
They're tied atop it at 3 right now.
So that's going to be a tiebreaker. That's a good
massive
one.
Game. A lot of pressure on New Orleans coming off a loss, playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Massive amount of pressure on them.
So we'll see what happens there. That's definitely a good one. Rams at Cardinals. Hopefully the Rams take that. Cardinals kind of pulled out a surprise last week, so we'll see what happens.
Have the Cardinals won 2 in a row?
I think so.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback?
It's Blaine Gabbert, man.
Wow, finally maybe he's found his rhythm after all these years.
Yeah, he didn't look terrible in San Fran last year.
Yeah, right.
He looked slightly better than terrible, whatever that's framed
awful.
As. Yeah, there you go.
Awful.
Really bad.
Yeah. Then the Sunday night game. Finally, we got a great one. Eagles Seahawks at Seattle. So
Russell Wilson, have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
So he's going to be running for his life the entire game.
Absolutely. Well, that's how he makes things happen. That's how he wins.
That really is how he wins.
That's when he's the best, when he can't be comfortable. He's got to run around and twiddle the outside the pocket and whip the ball and scramble rules. That's how they win.
I don't know if the Seahawks can block even one of Philly's defensive linemen.
Probably not.
Not even one of them.
Probably not. So this is a good one to see. You know, Seattle's got a lot of injuries, but you probably heard this before on TV that everyone's looking forward to this. They want to see Philly tested. Philly has played great. They've done some great things, but they still haven't played the team like a very good team and beat.
Yeah, the best team that they have beaten so far this year is the Panthers.
Now, they did only let up some ridiculous number in passing yards to whoever they played yesterday.
The Bears. Mitchell Trubisky won a game throwing 7 passes earlier this season.
Yeah, but they didn't. How many passing yards did the guy throw?
I don't know, and I don't care. I don't even register Mitchell Trubisky as an NFL quarterback at this point in his career.
He really isn't.
Yeah. He had 147 yards. That is extremely legit. That is totally fine for
this
him.
This game?
Against the Eagles this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally fine.
There's some stat I saw, but I don't know what the hell it was. Anyway.
Look, the last 4 games they've won. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Broncos, who are complete shell. They beat the Cowboys without Zeke, and they beat the Bears. None of those teams are good.
No.
None of them are even okay at this point.
No.
Seriously.
I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. So that's going to be a good one. That'll be fun. We'll see what happens. And then Monday night, Steelers at Bengals. See what happens. Bengals have kind of shown their colors a little more, and they're doing things again.
I was seeing an article that had Andy Dalton's stats versus Carson Wentz's stats from October onward.
Mm.
Andy Dalton's got better stats.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a higher completion percentage. He's thrown for more yards. He's thrown less interceptions. The only thing Carson has him on is more touchdowns.
He's got everyone on more touchdowns. That's the only reason Brady should be done. I mean, to me, Brady's the MVP. You want to say it's Wentz? Okay, it's because he's younger and he hasn't been there before. If Tom Brady was 24 years old, he would be the outright MVP.
Yeah, no people are sick of him. People are sick of seeing him.
They're absolutely sick of seeing him, and they're sick of seeing it, and I love it.
He's got a full 300 yards more than the next closest guy. Brady does.
And he's not supposed to be. He's not supposed to be this good.
He's thrown 26 touchdown passes to 3 interceptions.
Which is unbelievable.
Wentz is 28-5. I would say 26-3 is better than 28-5.
Oh, yeah. An interception is worth more than 2 touchdowns apiece in the old calculator there.
Sure thing. Yards per attempt, Brady has them. He's got
completion percentage. He's got yards per game, completion percentage, QBR, QB rating. He's got everything. He's got the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason. He's even been sacked fewer times, 24-25. Very
really?
Close, obviously. Very close. But a lower sack percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the thing is, if the Eagles go 15-1, Carson's going to win it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I don't think they are. They have a tough schedule coming up.
Do they? Who they got rolling in?
Well, they have this game coming up.
At the Seahawks, at the Rams, at the Giants, Raiders, and Cowboys. Zeke will be back for that Cowboys game. I don't know if they're going to be playing for anything at that point. But three consecutive games on the road, two against potential playoff teams. So, and then one a division rival, and the Raiders, a team who's going to be playing on national television Christmas Day.
Playing for their lives. If or they're just still at that point.
Playing for any sort of reputation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't have an easy game left on that schedule outside of the Giants.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And the Giants randomly play football now.
Every so often.
So you don't know.
They forgot to do it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, what do we got?
I don't know. I'm just fucking happy about where the Pats are right now. And just the problem is, you know, they could be one injury away from that completely changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a point where I wish the playoffs started right now.
Yeah.
I just wish we got 5 out of 6 divisional games where we got one down. So 4 or 5 of our last games are divisional games. And those are always just a pain in the ass. It's like, why did the schedulers do that to us?
I know.
All I want to see is us play the Steelers. I know we're better than the divisional teams, but I know that they're going to play us tight and it's going to be physical games every time. That Dolphins game was a really physical game.
Oh, very physical. They always want to beat us up. So,
and it's not going to be any different when we play the Bills, too.
Oh, they always play us hard. They always play us hard. That's the one thing I'll give them. They will play hard.
Yeah, it's almost like the schedule is just grinding us down right before when we really need it. So, yeah, hopefully they can continue to play well, pull out a bunch of wins in these games, and get that first round bye. And I would just love to go into Pittsburgh, riding high, just dominate.
Is it in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin came out before the game yesterday. Yeah, and said
we all addressed the elephant in the room.
Good.
We're all waiting for the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. And he said like with their team they can win it all or should win it all. It was something like that. Was it
about the Patriots?
No, about the Steelers.
Oh yeah.
He was saying with the team the Steelers have, they should win it all or want to win it all. I don't know what it was, but he was looking 2 months in advance of where he's at,
which is the start of his downfall.
Which is how you get into a trap game with the Packers at home on Sunday Night Football and almost lose it.
Yep.
Is by looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So keep looking ahead, Mike Tomlin. Just keep looking towards the playoffs. That's my job here. I'll look towards the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah,
you guys stay focused. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week to recap this game. Hey, wish me luck in Buffalo. I hope I don't freeze my ass off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of a trap game, Steelers versus Bengals this week.
Yep.
Trap all over it.
I don't know if you can get trapped 2 weeks in a row. I'm not sure if that's how it works. Can.
Well, I'll see what happens. All right.
I'm going to come back with a jaw wired shut from the Bills Mafia next week. Talking on the podcast like this.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? Sounds like I'm from the 40s.
It does.
All right. See you guys.
Adios.